Devaki, because he was threatened that one will be the one who will kill him. So Yogamaya made the arrangement to transfer Balaram, who was in the womb of Devaki, to the womb of Rohini in Braj. Now, how is that possible? That a child is transferred from the womb of a person to the womb of another person. Can any doctor be able to transfer a child from the womb to womb? It's just not possible. It's just like a great mystery. And His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj gave an interesting comment. He said that actually everything that is here in this world is coming from the spiritual world. Everything here is just a reflection of the spiritual world. And in the spiritual world are the most intricate intrigues. Like all those... Here we see movies with private detective and things like this. But in the spiritual world are actually the topmost of all intrigues. And how a child can go from one womb to another womb. And actually when people heard that the child of Rohini had died, you know, everyone thought it was a miscarriage. Everyone thought the child has died in the womb of Devaki. And everyone started to accuse Kamsa. They all thought, this cruel Kamsa is not even waiting anymore that the child come up to kill him. He's killing the child when he's still in the womb. And Kamsa did not know what was going on now, what was the point. So when Mother Rohini received Balaram in her womb, then she gave birth to Balaram. But Balaram had one problem. He did not speak, and he was totally inactive. A little bit like Srimati Radharani, when she appeared, she did not want to see. She was blind until she saw Krishna, and then she opened her eyes. So Balaram was actually totally mute, could not speak, and was totally inactive. But when Yasodamai was waiting for Krishna to come in her womb, and she will take Balaram on her lap, Balaram will become alive. Balaram will start to speak and become alive. And when Balaram was again away from child Krishna, who was in the womb of Yasoda, then he was again mute and inactive. Until Lord Krishna appeared, and then Balaram was totally speaking and like a so-called normal boy. And although Lord Krishna came 1 year after Balaram, 1 year and 8 days, still they did everything together. Krishna and Balaram did everything together. They started to crawl at the same time. They had the name-giving ceremony at the same time. Everything they did was actually in harmony and at the same time. And the first point I would like to underline is concerning to this name-giving ceremony of Krishna and Balaram. How Garga Muni came to visit Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. And when Garga Muni came, Nanda Maharaj was just so impressed, because Garga Muni was a pure devotee, was a very effulgent devotee. So Nanda Maharaj was immediately standing up, folding his hands and welcoming the sadhu in his house. And do you know what did Nanda Maharaj told Garga Muni when Garga Muni came? Any guess? What could Nanda Maharaj tell Garga Muni when Garga Muni comes? When I was asking this question in Golokadham, Bhagavad Dharma said, "Welcome." Must have been what Nanda Maharaj said. Nanda Maharaj said something very nice, which is actually the root of our Krishna consciousness philosophy, of our Krishna conscious understanding on how should we behave when a sadhu comes. So Nanda Maharaj said, "Dear sir, my dear Prabhu, because you are a devotee, you are full in everything." So first of all, Garga Muni start to praise Nanda Maharaj start to praise Garga Muni, because you are a devotee, you are full in everything. And then he said, yet my duty is to serve you. Kindly order me. What can I do for you? So that was the first reaction of Nanda Maharaj. A sadhu come, folding his hand, how can I serve you? And then Gaga Muni said, the only things I want is to see your boys. Please show me your two boys. So then Nanda Maharaj showed Krishna and Balaram to Gaga Muni. And Gaga Muni said, I think we should perform this name-giving ceremony. But Gaga Muni was a little afraid that people will know that actually by giving this name ceremony, the names of Krishna and Balaram, that Kamsa would happen to hear that actually Krishna, this person who was supposed to kill him, was now in Braj. So Gaga Muni was saying, I don't know if we should do this name-giving ceremony or not because of this danger. But Nanda Maharaj said, let's do that with the cows, in the cow shed. What is the cow shed? Is it like a place where the cows are, I think? With Krishna, Balaram, Gaga Muni, and Nanda Maharaj. And then I think we are all very familiar with that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam when Gaga Muni is giving the name to Balaram. He said, this child, the son of Rohini, will give happiness to all his relatives and friends by his transcendental qualities. Therefore, he will be known as Rama. And because he will manifest extraordinary bodily strength, he will also be known as Bala. Therefore, his name will be Balaram. And then, moreover, because he unites two families, his name will be Shankarshan. So, Prabhupada explained in the purport of that verse that actually the family lineage had been changing. Like Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj were brothers. But they did not have the same mother. The mother of Nanda Maharaj was a Vaishya mother, and the mother of Vasudev was a Kshatriya mother. And then Nanda Maharaj married a Vaishya wife, Yasoda. So there was like the family starting from the same father was going in one line Kshatriya and in another line Vaishya. But because Balaram had been transferred from the Kshatriya family to the Vaishya family, he was actually called Sankarshan because he was uniting the two families. And Giriraj Maharaj make a very, very nice point on that point of uniting, Balaram having the ability of uniting families. Because we see everywhere are families, and we see spiritual families. We see the Gaudiya Vaishnava family of devotees. When you are in Vrindavan, you just see there are so many different type of devotees, different, we could say, sects, different following of different sampradaya and different way to do. And actually, we are not always so united. If we see also in our own Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya, we see we have different mats, different groups, and we see it's very, very difficult to have unity in those groups. Sometimes we quarrel together. Sometimes I do preaching in Geneva, in Switzerland. And there we have maybe three devotees or four, maybe five. And two of them are from another mat. And so we are so less, but still they cannot invite each other because they don't know how to behave properly. The unity is not there. And I was speaking with my parents about that, and my father was saying, you are really crazy. You are really not serious that you are so less and you still cannot be united together. And then we see just in the realm of the yatra, just in the realm of a temple, so many times there is a lack of unity between the temple devotees and the congregation. So Balaram has actually these blessings with his name of Shankarshan to bring unity between the different families. So that's actually a very that's a good person to pray for, to get this unity between the Vaishnavas, between our own family. How? Oh, actually, Radhanath Maharaj also gave another point on this point of unity. He said that actually all spiritualists, and especially in our Gaudiya Vaishnava line, we are all actually engaged into a big fight. Into a big fight against illusion. Into a big fight against Maya. And Radhanath Maharaj explained what is happening if during the fight the members of the same army start to fight together. How many chances do they have to win the fight against the real enemy? And then Maharaj make it in a joking way. Say, just imagine, it's in the middle of the battlefield and suddenly you start to quarrel with your neighbor. I don't like your shoes. I don't like the way you wear your helmet. There is just no sense. Just no chance to win the real war against the real enemy, which is the material energy, or Maya. So this is actually this point of unity, this point. Groups, so that we can actually spread the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and help everyone to become conscious. Krishna conscious is very, very important. And then Giriraj Maharaj explained that the meeting of the Yadus and I'm sometimes confused with those family names. The meeting with the Brijbasi, the family of Nanda Maharaj, and the family of Vasudev when they were in Kurukshetra. Giriraj Maharaj said, when between the two families, and how much each other are inquiring, how is this family member and how is that family member, and they are really so much lovingly exchanging between each other. So Giriraj Maharaj comment, when I read that, I felt strange with that. I was thinking we should just love Krishna. Krishna is the ultimate goal. Is with him we have the real love, and all other love are temporary. And so he was saying, actually, I was surprised how Srimad Bhagavatam was describing this loving exchange between the two families, which from some point of view can seem to be social interaction or mundane interaction. But then he explained that actually in the devotee's family, this is actually very, very necessary. To come close to Krishna. Actually, those loving relationship between devotees, they are bringing us to this ekanti love to Krishna, in this exclusive love toward Krishna. But there is so much need of the devotee association. That's an absolute need in order to reach Krishna. And we see very often devotees have this misconception. They think just me and Krishna, but they disregard the other devotees around. They don't show proper respect or proper service attitude toward the other Vaishnavas. But the day we will be able to go back to Godhead, we will not be alone with Krishna. There will be many, many devotees also in the spiritual world. And we actually can learn to behave properly in association, in Sangha with other devotees now. Actually, the time we have now to be in association with devotees is like a training school. It's like training us to bring out this ideal relationship, this supportive relationship, this loving relationship between each other, so that actually we can behave properly when we are in the spiritual world, that we don't show envy or show hatred to anyone when we go to the spiritual world. Very often, my Guru Maharaj sometimes said, we are just looking in the think the horizontal relationship between devotees around us and the importance, the need we have to have their support so that we can go to Krishna. Often we think we just go to Krishna and just pray to Krishna and just chant to Krishna, which is what we have to do, but we should never think we can do it alone. We should never diminish the importance of the relationship between the Vaishnavas. They bring us to Krishna. Once I was in a Croatian camp, and Pankajangri Prabhu was there in the camp visiting. He had to come to the West to do his visa, and I had the service to bring him from the sleeping place to the camp. So we had like 10 minutes walk into the forest, and Prabhu was chanting japa and walking, and I was very young bhakta at that time. That was, I think, my first year I was with Maharaj service. I was not yet initiated. And I thought, wow, I'm now with a great devotee. I should ask him a question. And I asked Prabhuji, what is most important in Krishna consciousness? There are so many different areas of Krishna consciousness. The holy name, the guru, and prasadam, and what is the most devotees? The devotees are most important. Because from the beginning, the first step in Krishna consciousness, the devotees help us to do that. And even at the end of our spiritual life, when we are a pure devotee, a paramahamsa, and can enter into the spiritual dimension, still the devotees of Lord Krishna in the form of a manjari or the form of the associate of the Lord, they will help us to serve Krishna in a proper way. So he was saying from the beginning to the end, the devotees are most important because they bring us to Krishna. So the second, so that was one of the points. Now I would like to speak a little bit about Balaram being the elder brother. Or should we see if there are questions maybe on this first point before we go to the next one? Is there any questions or comment? Yeah?
On the Krishna. And I was in Vrindavan 2 years ago, Bhakti Babava Maharaji gave a very nice class on this topic. And he was quoting some passages from Vrindavan from Bhakti Babava Thakur. Bhakti Babava Thakur also addressed this. And to him, he was referring to this explosive on the Krishna relationship as Kanishtha Adhikari. It surprised me that because of that excluding nature. So, and then he explained the progression in Krishna consciousness that you get from that Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and then actually we extend not only our concern Krishna, to Krishna's
devotees
and
the loving relationships that the gurus have with each other. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I remember we had in Berlin one young bhaktin who was now becoming a devotee, and one day we had a meeting and she said, I'm ready to give up my old friends, my kami friends. But I absolutely need friends in Krishna consciousness. Please, now you organize that someone become friend with me, because I just see you are all so much busy in your things. No one has any time for friendship with me. And yeah, it's very nice also this connection on the level of advancement of the Kanishtha Adhikari who is just seeing I and Krishna. Thank you for the comment. Being the elder brother of Krishna. Does it sound a little bit illogical that Balaram, who is an expansion from Krishna, is actually the elder brother like he's in a superior position from Krishna. How can that be? There is a very, very beautiful reason I heard from Radhanath Swami. That's come from the previous, I don't know if we can say incarnation or previous manifestation of Balaram in Ram Lila, when Balaram was actually Lakshman with Ramachandra and Sita Devi. Ramachandra, that was previously. And at that time, Lakshman or Balaram, heavy tasks, because the younger brother is supposed to follow the order of the elder brother. And at that time, there was few instances when Lakshman had to do such a heavy service, such a difficult service for Ram. And this started when Hanuman, or I'm not sure if it was Hanuman, but when Sita was actually brought back from Ravan. Ravan had been killed, and now Sita was coming back to meet Lord Ramachandra again. And when she was coming to meet Lord Ramachandra, she was sitting on a palanquin. And Lord Ram told Lakshman, you go to Sita and tell her she should walk. She should not be sitting on the palanquin. So Lakshman felt surprised and then had to follow the order and told her that. And then Ram told him, you tell Sita that I reject her, that I don't want to be with her, because she was living in the house of a demon, and according to social rules, I cannot accept her anymore as my wife. Go to Sita and tell her I reject her. And then Lakshman was so heartbroken to do such a service. And then everyone said, we will prove to Lord Ramachandra that Sita is chaste. And for that, we will make a fire, and we will ask Sita to go in the fire. And if she get burned, that means she was unchaste. And if she remain unburned, then that means if she is burnt, I'm mixing up. If she is burnt, that means she was unchaste. And who did Lord Ram ask to light the fire? Was Lakshman. Sita was on the wood, and Lakshman had to light the fire. And Lakshman did not want. And Ram was, do it. And then he did it. And then Sita was seeing of being chased. And Ram accepted Sita again. Until one day, Lord Ram heard one simple citizen who was criticizing him because of having accepted Sita back. He said, I'm not like this Ram who accepted this wife who was in the kingdom of this demon. And when Ram heard that, he said, oh, this is bad. There is a bad thought about the institution, about the kingdom, because of that. And then he gave the last instruction that was very, very painful for Lakshman. He said, you take Sita with you and you go to the forest. And you tell Sita, we just go to visit some saints in the nature, in one hermitage. But then you leave her there and you come back alone. And you tell her, when you are there, you tell her that until the end of the life, he will not accept her back and she should stay in this ashram. So Lakshman had to again do this very difficult task. And Radhanath Maharaj explained, when Lakshman was driving Sita to the forest, he was just crying and crying and crying, in this idea of what he had to do as a service for Ram. And then he said, never again I want to come as his younger brother. I will never come again as his younger brother. Next time I will come as his elder brother. I cannot do this type of service anymore for my Lord Ram. So this is very, very moving example. And another reason also why Lord Balaram came as an older brother is that actually Lord Balaram also wanted to experience a certain type of rasa with Krishna, which is tinged with vatsa. Going and taking shelter of Balaram. I mean, I did not hear so many of them, maybe Chakravarti, you remember some of them, but Mahanidhi Maharaj explained a story that there was one gopi who was very ugly, who looked very, very ugly, and everyone will all the time make jokes about her. And one day, Krishna decided, let me go and steal butter from that specific gopi. And when he went there to steal butter, this ugly gopi, I have to find out her name again. She saw Krishna and she became very, very angry. And the anger of this gopi combined with her anger, the anger combined with the ugly of his face was that time Krishna took shelter of Balaram and called, Balaram, Balaram, help me, help me. So this is one example of Balaram, of Krishna taking shelter at Balaram for some help. So, and the next point I would like to speak about is about this point of spiritual strength that is actually imbibed in Lord Balaram. His Holiness Niranjana Swami in one of his book, actually that was coming from his lecture, explained that actually the strength of Lord Balaram is coming because of his service attitude, because Balaram is so much into this seva bhava, so much engaged into serving Krishna, that actually the strength is coming through this service attitude. And this is actually something very, very beautiful that Lord Balaram is giving us. And that was also the object of my meditation for Balaram Appearance Day, of this seva bhava, this desire to really serve, this desire to really please Krishna in our service. Because I think Kavi Kanapur mentioned there is service with nectar and service without nectar. There is the service which is fully connected with our consciousness, this real seva bhav, that we do the service but with this eagerness, with this anxiety that it will be pleasing for Krishna. And there is this service that we do because we know it's good to do it, and we do it but absent-minded. And when service is done with this proper attitude, with this, I like very much to use this anxiety that Krishna will accept the service, that the service will be pleasing for Krishna, then this seva bhav, this service attitude, is generating a lot of strength, a lot of attachment for Krishna, a lot of bliss inside of our heart. And this is actually Balaram who is giving us this example of this seva bhav, of this attitude of service. Once I was giving a lecture in Radhadesh about this devotional mood in our service, and one Mataji was giving this example. She said once she was in a kitchen cooking for the deities, and there were two Matajis were there in the kitchen. And she said, the other Mataji with me, she was all the time in anxiety. And she was saying, I hope Krishna will accept. I hope Krishna will accept our cooking. I really hope. And this Mataji was thinking, of course he will accept. I mean, we are cooking, we will offer to him. But the other Mataji was so anxious and so much repeating that she understood, actually, maybe not so much love is in our cooking. And maybe actually Krishna will not be so attracted to it, our offering. And she said, I was so moved by seeing the attitude of that devotee who was anxious that Krishna will accept the service, anxious that we can please Krishna, that we can actually give. The service that we do is really with our full heart, our full consciousness. And this is the seva bhav. This is the strength that is provided through this seva bhav that comes from Lord Balaram. And we can see sometimes in young devotees who actually come, they are doing service and they are really thinking, oh, how can I please Krishna? How can this service be done? Because it's new. They really want to experiment. And they give themselves fully into what they are doing. And they just get so much enlivened and so much eagerness and so much enthusiasm that is coming. And sometimes we see devotees after 10 years or 20 years in the movement who have lost this eagerness, this strength, this seva bhava, and where its life is not as exciting. But obviously there is also this utsahamai, this immature enthusiasm that is also there in the young devotee. But the point I try to make. Giving pleasure to Krishna, this real service attitude, then a lot of strength is provided and a lot of enthusiasm is given to our practice. This point actually was underlined by Mahanidhi Maharaj. Most of my notes I have here come from lectures from our Swamis. And he was saying, how can we be depressed and not enthusiastic while performing devotional service? How is that possible? If we practice devotional service, we should be full of bliss and enthusiasm. What is wrong? And then Maharaj brings the point that actually when we do devotional service, but we want to take for ourselves, like you were saying very nicely, we have our own agenda behind our action, then this do not provide this bliss, this happiness of service. Because Srila Rupa Goswami explained when he gives the devotional, the definition of devotional service, it should be uninterrupted and unmotivated. That's the way we come to to this seva bhav, to this root of spiritual strength. There is, maybe I don't know if you know Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu from Bhubaneswar, a disciple of Guru Govinda Swami. He's now initiating a guru in ISKCON. No, he's from Orissa. He's from Orissa. And once someone asked him a question in a lecture about doing too much service. And he went, How can you do too much service? You cannot do too much service, because when you do service, you just become so enlivened, you just want more. You cannot do too much service. And then he was saying, if we feel we are doing too much service, or we are overburdened with service, that means our consciousness is not properly tuned. We are doing out of duty. We are missing this deep seva bhava. And once a person asked Srila Prabhupada, he asked, what do you do for recreation? You do your puja, you do your preaching, you do your chanting, you do your books writing, but what do you do for recreation? And Prabhupada just could not understand what he was meaning. He was, recreation? And then Prabhupada answered, all we do is recreation. All we do is recreation, because all we do, devotional service, is just wonderful to do. It's just generating this strength, this spiritual strength, this attachment for Krishna. But this is not easy, these unmotivated feelings toward Krishna is really far away. We are, at least I can speak on my name, so much self-centered and egoistic. But Balaram has this seva bhava, this pure seva bhava toward Krishna. He's expanding us all the paraphernalia for Krishna. He's just serving in the five rasas. He's just like every cell of his beings is just engaged in serving Krishna. So Balaram can give us these blessings of the proper seva bhava, the proper service attitude for Krishna. And from there, all spiritual strength is coming to us. Hridayananda Maharaj give another beautiful point, which brings us into another area of the lecture. Maharaj says that Balaram's power is an expression of his infinite goodness. And this means that one is taking care of the welfare of others. Interesting point. This is the nature of goodness. Nature of goodness is that we want to do good for others. Therefore, Balaram appears as the original guru. And this is actually what the Adi Guru is doing. This is the welfare toward all living beings, to try actually to help every living beings to progress in spiritual life. So this is the aspect of Balaram coming as Adi Guru. And if we see in Prabhupada's lectures and Prabhupada's books, how many times he's quoting a specific verse where he's Charitamrita Yarede Katarekaha Krishna Upadesh. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. So many times Prabhupada will mention and will ask his disciple, you please become gurus. You please become gurus. But he knew that gurus is a very high post, and he was not meaning become a guru like become full of the opulence that the guru will receive with honor and recognition and disciples. He was not meaning that, because he knew that that's dangerous. But he was meaning become a guru, give Hridayananda Maharaj said a little further, he said, if you don't become a guru, that means you are selfish. If you don't try to give this Krishna consciousness to others, if you don't repeat this message from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam to others, that means you are selfish. So I like very much to connect this point, because we were speaking about selfishness into this serving attitude, that actually to try to give Krishna consciousness to others is actually very helpful for us also to enter into this selfless attitude. And this doesn't mean necessarily that everyone should be a preacher and everyone should be giving lecture, but it can also be very much with the example. In our action, our dealings, how much faith and trust do we have into the process we are following? How much care and love do we express to other people around us? This is even more strong preaching than words, like you were kindly mentioning before. So this is also a very, very beautiful way we can see how we can fulfill our Guru's desire, Srila Prabhupada, to become a guru by giving such a good example of being a soft-hearted, loving person toward others and well-intentioned, compassionate person toward everyone. And this compassionate aspect of the spiritual master, it goes so far that he so much wants all of us to get Krishna. He has just such a big desire that we will be able to receive Krishna. I will read just a few sentences from Mahanidhi Maharaj. He's speaking about Balaram being the Sandini Shakti, and then he comes to the point of the Adiguru. He said, Balaram, like Krishna to appear in our hearts. As Sandini Shakti, Balaram act to manifest the Holy Dhamma. He act to manifest the Holy Name. Actually, Balaram can do this miracle to transform our lip chanting into a revelation of the Holy Name. Balaram can manifest the Holy Name in our hearts to bring the Dhamma in existence. If we want our syllable Holy Name to become transformed, we need the help of the Sandini Shakti Balaram. When the name become manifest in the heart of the devotees, the real Holy Name, then Balaram will be gracious to manifest the form of his beloved Krishna in our hearts. Balaram wants to manifest the form of his beloved. Form of the Chetya Guru, Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru. Those are the actions of the Sandini Shakti, Lord Balaram. That means Lord Balaram comes into those three different types of Guru, Chetya Guru, Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, with the longing, the intense desire that he can give us Krishna. And then it's up to us to develop sufficient desire to receive Krishna. From Balaram, from the Guru who is coming there. But the spiritual master has such compassionate nature. He's craving, he's wanting to give us Krishna. And it's just up to us to also have this desire and to be able to accept Krishna consciousness from him. Now, how is he trying? How is the Adi Guru trying to give us Krishna consciousness? Through his instructions. I was reading in 7th Canto, there is beautiful purport where Srila Prabhupada said that the living entities are like lost in a deep well of material existence. And then when we are calling, when we are hoping to get out, the spiritual master comes and throws us a rope down into the well. And then it's up to us to catch the rope, so that he can take us up. It's a well-known analogy. If we don't grasp the rope, the spiritual master cannot take us out. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned this rope is the instructions that the spiritual master gives us. Those instructions are the medium for us to receive Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people, I remember, would go to my spiritual master and they would say, oh, give us your for that. And often my Guru Maharaj did not say, Tatastu, hand up his hand up. No, he gave instructions on how they can reach that goal. And by following those instructions, actually we can receive Krishna. And Guru Govinda Swami, who spoke a lot on Guru Tattva, underlined the utmost importance of hanging at those instructions of the spiritual master. He explained that there are two different types of instructions. One type is the general instruction you receive during lectures from the spiritual master. And there is another one, which is the personal instruction the spiritual master gives you. In darshan or specific meetings or in letter, something specific he gives to you, specific instruction. Guru Govinda Swami said those instructions should become the life and soul of the devotees. And then they are grasping the rope, and then they can be taken out and have and receive Krishna consciousness, receive Krishna from the spiritual master. Remember once we had a disciple meeting in Serbia, and my Guru Maharaj spoke about an article he had published a few weeks earlier, and those articles will go on internet to all disciples. And we were maybe 35, 40 devotees at this meeting. And then Maharaj spoke about this, and then he asked, how many of you read this article? And there was maybe 1/5 of the devotee who could raise their hands. And then my Guru Maharaj just became so disappointed. And he said, how can I help you? How can I help you if you don't accept my help? I'm trying all my best to give you my help. If you don't receive it, how can the relationship between Guru and disciple work? And you can see how Srila Prabhupada took seriously the instruction of his spiritual master. He got this instruction of preaching into the West and just intense meditation, intense preparation to fulfill that instruction. And then he came to the West and could do. But he is such a wonderful example of really taking the instructions of the spiritual master as his life and soul. And there is the success. How the spiritual master can actually deliver or give Krishna consciousness to the disciple. So I will end with one sentence that also came from my Guru Maharaj in one of his lectures. He said that Balaram will give us the strength to change things in our life that we are usually not able to change ourselves. He's giving us the strength. Hare Krishna Mataji, welcome. He's giving us actually the strength to make big new steps in our life. There are sometimes in our life, we sometimes come to situations that we feel it's very difficult to go over. We have some limitation that it's very difficult to go over. And Lord Balaram has a special blessings for us, a special strength that he can help us actually to make those extra steps. Obviously, when I was giving this lecture, it was on Balarama Priyans Day, and it was making extra meaning, extra sense. Today is Balarama Priyans Day. We can really go to Balaram and pray very deeply so that we are able to do this new step. But Balaram is not limited to give blessings only on his appearance day. This can come at any time. The only things we need to genuinely turn our heart to him, genuinely go to him and pray. How can we get the blessings if we are not asking for them? We need to go to him and ask him for those blessings. So as a summary for this first part of the lecture, we heard about different aspects of Lord Balaram's mercy. We were hearing of the aspect of Lord Balaram having a special mercy to unite the devotees so that we are more strong and more supportive toward each other, and we can actually progress together and help each other. There was the point of the strength of Balaram coming through this, the spiritual strength coming through this seva bhav, this proper attitude of unmotivated service to Krishna and the Vaishnavas. We heard a little bit about the reason why Balaram became this time as an elder brother and not anymore as a younger brother, which was very beautiful to hear. And then finally we heard about the extreme goodness of Lord Balaram with this amazing desire to help all conditioned souls to receive Krishna, to give this Krishna consciousness to others through the form of the Adi Guru. And how is the Guru not helplessly but so much trying to give Krishna to all the living entities is through the instructions that he is giving to us. And by taking those instructions very seriously, our spiritual progress is going very smooth. It's those instructions are our help. I remember some weeks ago when I first came to Golokadham, my Guru Maharaj was a little bit afraid what would happen to me in Golokadham. So he was very kind that he one day, just like this, he just called. And I thought, your Guru Maharaj tried to call, he will call again in 2 hours, be ready. And I thought, oh yeah, he will give me some service or something. He has something to ask me for. And then he called me and he said, oh, I just want to know how is it going in Golokadham? how are you? And so I told him and we had a discussion. And then he said, okay, now I'm sending you the rope. Please catch it. And then he told me, always keep in mind the goal. Always keep in mind the sadhya, the goal, where you want to go, what you want to reach, why you are doing all those activities, why you are actually doing this type of austerity, of accepting a certain type of position in a temple. Why you do all of that? Because you want to reach a certain goal, which is Braj Bhakti, which is devotional service in the mood of Vrindavan. So he said, just keep this in mind while you do your activities. Now if I reflect, I'm not thinking so often of this instruction. Time to time it comes to my mind and time to time I try to apply, but I cannot say I took this instruction as my life and soul. And if I would do that, it would just will make my life will be so different. Master come with this intense compassion, intense desire for us to become Krishna conscious very fast. And he's giving us the rope. And then it's really up to us. We have our part to do of generating this eagerness to really hold hard on this rope and be dragged out of the well.